Thought Press Network.
C-R-I-T.
Welcome everybody to another edition of Crit or Die.
Bears Love Gaming.
Actually, not to remember, it's not Bears Love Gaming anymore. It's the Three Amigos.
The Three Amigos Love Gaming.
As always, I have Pedro with me.
How's it going, Kenny?
And of course, now we have a newcomer, Jeff. Hello, Jeff.
Hola.
Ah, yes. Yeah, isn't it?
That's why we called
you
the Three
Amigos. How does that seat feel right there?
I'm cultural as fuck.
I'm right in the middle of the two of them. This is great.
Yes. It's the bear sandwich. A bear witch, all so much better.
The porridge is always hot.
Oh my god! And today's actually a special recording. Not only the fact that we, you know, newcomer Jeff, but also it's the fact that it's his birthday.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Happy birthday, asshole.
I'm years old.
No.
Censored years old.
You just put down the air horn and walked away. You just like, no, I'm done.
It's like, I'm too old for the air horn. I'm just going to go back here.
I remember when it was a bell.
I remember when I vigorously shook the bell and the ladies came to the square. And they began the bell time dance.
Now
you children with your twerking.
Not to be confused.
And your daggering.
Not to be confused with the bell for
motherfucker's still dagger, right? Like, that's still a thing, right?
Dance hall music? Yeah.
Those videos are still daggering. Okay, man, making sure.
Do you guys ever see that video of the one that he daggers her off of the stage?
It's beautiful, yeah.
Like, he just launches her and she disappears into the nothingness.
Oh, I'm surprised it wasn't turned into a fucking Shooting Stars.
No, even better. They've done that. They've done the whole dance hall thing with people daggering, and then they redubbed it with JR going, oh my god.
I love dance hall. I will never dagger. I look at that and I'm like, I'll watch and I'll fucking be dancing in the corner, but I ain't gonna
do some crazy shit, dude. I've literally seen the guy balance himself on top of the girl, jump up, and then land literally like a plancha onto her back.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, yeah, no, and there was one video I saw that they were in a backyard and they walked up a ladder onto the roof. They were daggering in the process of climbing the ladder. I was like, that's skill,
man.
Well, guys, I mean, this took a...
This turned into a music podcast.
Sorry. Yeah. This turned into a music podcast. Well, we usually talk about stuff like this anyway.
They get a little bit derailed in the middle.
Even before we go into it. But yes, it is Jeff's birthday. We're not going to say how old he is. Let's just say that he's as old as we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's seen some things.
We can neither confirm nor deny any daggering that may be going on with Jeff.
I have seen shit that'll turn you white.
Oh, man. And so, and like we were saying in the previous previous episode, I asked Jeff to actually introduce us to a couple games that he had with him. And these two games are actually really fun. The way I describe both of these games, both of them have that fuck you, like fuckery in it.
Oh, there's so much fuckery.
There's so much fuckery in both games. However, one is more of an elegant,
right?
Like, I would go ahead of you. So,
yeah.
Then this one's like, the other game that we're going to talk about is, go fuck yourself.
Yeah. it's supreme go fuck yourself.
It's casual fuckery versus extreme fuckery.
Well, one of them could be like, oh, what a shame. I made a mistake. I'm ahead of you. And the other one is like, take this dick right in the mouth.
Now, and the thing is that they're both genuinely two different types of games.
Yes.
One is a resource management game, technically.
Yeah.
No, not technically. It is.
It's a resource management game. And then the other game we're going to be talking about is just straight up fuck, like card game.
Like an aggressive versus game.
Right.
Yeah. So actually, let's go with the classy before we get nasty.
Yes,
let's go classy before
first.
We get nasty.
All right.
So go ahead and talk about that, Jeff, for us.
Okay. So the first game that I selected to introduce these guys to is called Takedo. It came out in 2012 by Funforge. The basic premise of the game, the artwork's beautiful in this game. And you know, I know you guys will probably delve into that. But you're basically travelers going on the East Sea Road, which is one of the most famous roads in Japan, apparently. I haven't been to Japan, so I'm not familiar.
I've heard of it, yes.
And you're basically trying to become the most initiated traveler. So there's paintings that you have to complete. There's temples that you can donate money to. There's... meals that you can eat. There's souvenirs, which Pedro's very familiar with the souvenirs.
Yeah, a lot of souvenirs.
And basically, so you're just, the goal is everybody basically gets to the end at the same time. It's not a race, but it's a matter of placing your figures And where do you, judging where everybody else is going, what everybody technically is probably going to go for, but that always changes, and adjusting your moves that way. What's cool about it is whoever's last goes first after every turn. So it's not a, okay, we all go in one order, then we all go in the same order again. No, it's constantly fluctuating.
And that's actually where a lot of the strategy comes in, is like being able to adjust where you go on this. Because basically, the board is like one long image of Japan, mm-hmm. and you're doing these little stops in between measured breaks
right.
in how the game works. So what I really liked about it is it balances the resource management and the points, which is obviously how you're supposed to win, with actually trying to figure out how you want to maximize the amount of moves you're doing and maximize the amount of points that you're going to get. So for instance, like if it was the three of us playing, right?
Right.
And I'm last, I could go jump all the way to the end if I'm, you know, really stupid.
Right.
Or I could jump as far ahead as if I need to be able to pull cards or resources when I want them. But what ends up happening is that the further ahead that I go, it's going to give whoever is last after that more opportunity to go multiple times.
Right.
Right.
And later on, that's going to drastically affect how many points that you could end up pulling.
Right.
Fucking dogs.
Yeah, fucking dogs are pulling.
Dogs are like, fuck this.
Like a record skipping in my head. But yeah, and the thing is, that's something you definitely don't see when you're starting out. But definitely by the time you're hitting the second and third ones, you're starting to see, okay, it'll be better for me to stop here, donate to the shrines, then don't go all the way forward, hang back so I can try to visit more locations.
Mm-hmm. And it's an ever-evolving strategy game. Every character you play, different characters have different kinds of abilities.
Right.
Some people are, you know, there's one character that is more, that gets a benefit from the shrine, one person that gets a benefit from the marketplace. Same thing with any encounters.
Somebody who really likes souvenirs.
Somebody who really likes souvenirs, type of thing.
I had the painter when we played the game. So because there's paintings that you can complete that you have to make the stops to get pieces of those paintings. And there's a three piece painting, a four, and a five piece painting.
Right, and everything is allocated at the end of the game in points.
Right,
and that's really what it comes down to, is having to collect the most amount of points at the end of the game. It's not about finishing it first, like Jeff was saying.
Right,
and not only that, the part that kind of gets to me and that gets me a little anxious is the fact that it has a count meter on the side of the board, so that you get to see how far away you are from everybody else.
Yeah, right. Definitely by the time, like I said, you're hitting the second or third breaker, you're always like, oh shit, okay, I'm running out of time. I got to see if I could figure out how to do this. And that's where I saw where the fuckery really comes in. Because
right.
if you see somebody who's like, I ain't gonna let you get that last fucking painting, I'm gonna fucking block you as much as I can.
Yeah, and I think the creators of the game realize that, because if you look at the board, the stops are shorter in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last two, I think it is, are there's Very, a lot more stops.
Yeah.
So it's really like, do I go for that extra painting, or do I go to the marketplace and spend some money?
Yeah,
you know, it's actually a very deep game if you think about it.
And I also really like the achievements, like being like, so like, oh, person who gets the most of this, person gets the most of that, adding in the extra points, because that adds in extra layers and forces you to change your strategy even like halfway or toward the end of the game, when you realize, oh shit, I've been doing this the whole time, I could push a little bit further and be able to eke out like another 10 points. And when we finished, we were all really close to each
right.
other. So it just would have taken like one or two adjustments in different achievements, and one of us would have won.
Well, what's amazing is that this game, you have to think not only just a few steps ahead. You really want to go, okay, I'm starting the game now this way. So by the end, I'm supposed to be going into this. Like, I should be having this. Like, you're already thinking past the third stop, as opposed to trying to get to the first stop, which is hard, especially when you have other people ruining your plans.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And the thing is that characters that you play have certain advantage, but you may not even play that advantage to that character, depending on what you run into.
Mm-hmm.
There's no dice in this game, which is interesting, because you don't need it.
Right.
Yeah. That's very rare. Like,
yeah.
See, like, increasingly, like, dice is such a way to interact with a game, to see one that doesn't use it. Very interesting.
And the thing too is, we played it with three people. You can, and it was crowded as it was with three people. You can play this up to five people.
Oh, I can imagine how cutthroat it gets at that point.
It's even worse.
Yeah,
yeah, because you're extremely limited on spaces at that point. Mm-hmm. So it's I like that the game itself evolves without having, and they've had expansions. I haven't purchased the expansion yet. You know, just as the base game, the number of players changes the game completely.
Mm-hmm.
you know, at least to me. And
oh,
I,
absolutely.
And I,
yeah.
and I, you know, and I think it's beautiful. The board, I love that the meeples are this nice wood. Like
the presentation is excellent.
The presentation is beautiful, which reminds me a lot of Japan.
Do you remember there was a game that we played earlier on with Will, the panda game?
Takenoko.
And that one
beautiful
also
as well.
Yeah, really awesome. Well presented too. Mm-hmm. And I definitely am really starting to appreciate the more that we play games presentation.
Yeah, because, presentation does make a difference.
And that's going to matter when we talk about the next game too. But, presentation matters because sometimes you could be doing something fairly innocuous, but you present it in a certain way and it's pretty amusing.
Yeah.
Or in this case, like, you know, you really appreciate the amount of art that went into it or how, you know, just the design, how right. everything comes together.
No, and if nothing else, if you've never played the game before, it may look like one thing that I kind of had an issue with the game in the beginning mm-hmm. and then I got okay with it was the fact that it had IKEA-like instructions.
Yeah.
Where it just gave you pictures of what it is and you had to guess what that
decipher
meant.
Decipher what it was.
You're right. Like, okay, you know, I'm looking at it. But then after a while, it's made that way so that once you get the feel for what the game is about, what these cards do, then it's just simple as whenever you see that picture, you know that it means for this. So it corresponds with the board. It's a great game to learn when somebody – like it's one of those games where you need to have somebody that's already played it.
Right.
Because they can go right into it. You know, you don't want to have to go through the rule book. You just want to play because once you get the feel for the game, we pretty much got the hang of it halfway through the game.
No, I would say by the time we finished the first break in it, we're like, okay, we can see how this goes. And
yeah,
it goes by a lot faster after that.
No, and it's I would say this is a game that I would like to play again. This is not one of those resource. I don't like resource management. Let's just put it bluntly. I don't like resource management games, but this was a lot of fun to play. This is one I get competitive in board games.
Really, you don't say.
Really,
maybe. But this game is one of those where it has a random element to it that anybody could really catch up. Actually, both games that we're going to talk about, anybody could catch up in the blink of an eye, and I like that. I want to say it reminds me a lot of the that other resource management game, the panda game, Takenoko, I think that's what it's called, right?
Yeah, Takenoko.
And I don't know if it's the same developer, but it feels a lot like it.
I mean, I think that's more of a tone thing than anything else.
Have you noticed that when it comes to certain aspects of, like, when you talk about, like, for instance, both of those are very Eastern Japanese games. Both of them are stylized a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's a different company, even more telling because if it's a different company, they still go by the same kind of style because of the fact it's in that area.
Well, we also ended up playing that chess game when we were early on. That also had a very similar kind of feel to it.
Right.
So, you know, clearly whoever are doing these designs knows.
Tamegawa.
Whoever's doing these designs when they're aiming for that kind of feel like are really nailing it. Or at least the ones that we've played so far.
Like,
we haven't run into
like,
one
when
that's
it comes
been terrible.
To Eastern, the only way I can describe it is when it comes to Eastern style, stylized games, you can see that it's keeping that
more
feel
care
to it.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a different publisher. But the thing is, it's interesting because, well, and I was with you. Like, I thought this is actually Takenoko's Chinese.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. But still, it's
but
Eastern.
Still, it felt the same. Yeah. And it was Eastern. It still had... I agree with you 100%. It had the same exact feel.
Yeah.
I Takenoko is just a game. I saw it. A lot of the games that I originally, when I first started buying games, was because I saw it on tabletop.
Right.
And that was one that was one that I did see on tabletop. And when I saw how beautiful the artwork was, I saw it and I picked it up. It's a, like I said, it's a game that evolves with however many players you play it. And that's why I love it because every game I've played has been different.
No, and I think that's what the replayability for any game should be. I wouldn't want to play a game that you can already tell how the ending's going to be, you know, every time.
Well, there's a level of inevitability
there
to
it. There has to be. It can't be... You have to have enough randomness where it's not boring or ridiculous that you don't feel like playing it anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that this game in particular does a very good job of that balance. It toes that line where you can always play somebody different. Everybody plays differently regardless of what character they play, but even the character helps out
right
in the change of the game. You know, if you had to give it a 1 to 10, let's just go right now.
I mean, I love that game. I'd say solid like 8.5 because I mean,
we're going with 0.5s now? Is that
are we
no,
not?
No, we've, no, we've, got, we've
going
we've
with
0.5
it's
before.
Your birthday. It's fine.
Remember, the first episode we didn't review.
That's true. Yeah. We actually just delved
point,
into
0.5s count because there have been more than enough times where I'm like, I can't give it one or the other. So
as long as you don't go like... Yeah, 8.275. Not, yeah. Don't, just
no,
don't.
I'm just doing half.
Yeah, don't do the IGN.
No, halvesies.
That's solid. So that's a game that you would frequently just pick up and play.
Yeah, I mean, I this game alone, I've played easily 7 or 8 times.
Yeah.
And I, since I got it.
Yeah. I mean, I would follow suit. I'd say about an 8.5 would be pretty solid for it because it has the malleability to it. It has really good the design aspect of it. I really can see how adding multiple people ends up changing the experience completely. Maybe I'd be scoring a little bit higher if we had like a full 5 because that I imagine the amount of rowdiness that goes with it. But
right.
Yeah, I definitely could see that. And it seems like a good repeatable game. So yeah. You get a lot of value out of it.
Yeah, and I'm going to go ahead and just solid 8. Okay. 8. On the dot for me, this game, beautiful to look at. If nothing else, it's one of those games where I'm glad the concept of the game fits the actual gameplay because I'll buy games that look nice and then they're just crapshoots.
Right.
So I'm just glad that this game in particular had the bull. The only reason why I wouldn't give it any higher is only because of the fact that it's resource management and I still have to fucking do math in the middle of the game. But other than that, you know, I would still play that. Like I said, I would play it again. And I think that everybody should actually play that game. What's the name of the developer again?
Funforge.
Funforge. Yes, it's Funforge. Okay. You're correct. Yeah, man. I would tell you guys, you let us know if you think this game is great or not. Tell us if we're full of shit. Mm-hmm. You know, tell us if you like fucking, you know, Russian games. Tell us a Russian game. I don't give a shit. Well, Pedro, I know you've been excited to talk about bringing
this actually have been. Yes. I'm not even exaggerating here. There's no sarcasm. Just saying this in the game is fun. It's called Epic Spell Wars of the Battle Wizards Duel at Mount Skullfire. Skullfire. Yeah, there's multiple skulls involved.
From the creators of Cryptozoic, man. I love these guys.
Yeah.
Cryptozoic Entertainment, the developer of it, that, you know, they've done some cool games, and then he also did Ghostbusters, but...
I love how you said that. They've done some good games.
They did good games and Ghostbusters.
When I saw that a Ghostbusters game was getting announced, I was super excited. Mm-hmm. And
then you played it.
And then you played it, and then you realized, I love Ghostbusters the movie.
But yeah. But before you got here, they actually did Ghostbusters 2, and I told Kenny, I was like, I might have to pick it up just because they added as an expansion Louis Tully.
Oh my...
And he's got the earmuffs and everything. Yes. And I was like, I might have to get this game.
You know what? I think I'll drop a little more cash on this. I have to at this point. That's
one of those where you don't play it. You put it in a frame.
Yeah.
Just like, hey, that was a thing.
That's the figure that you paint and you just have him.
He's just a micro that you attach with you at all times.
But for the most part, Cryptozoic has a great track record, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And they actually knocked it out of the park with this fucking game, bro. This game.
So this was, Jeff showed this to us when we went over to his place to record the last episode, and I wanted to play it right away because you were talking about presentation. The art for it is completely fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
Imagine like a dirty Adventure Time. Like that is like a really.
That's a good way of putting that.
Yeah,
because
there's definitely
a really
some character-
solid way of putting it.
Because there's a couple characters that look like fucking Lemon Grab, who is fucking terrifying. And it's super exaggerated, cartoony. Looks like an Adult Swim game. Like, I could actually imagine this being released as something on phones. And what you got is a versus game. Like, everybody ends up picking a character. There's no real difference with the character besides just visuals. But,
let's
name some of these characters. So, for instance, there's Pister, the Pissed Wizard, a wizard clearly covered in urine. We have Princess Holiday and her Furicorn, which is a pissed off unicorn. My personal favorite, Faye Ticklebottom, the enchanter who looks high as fuck flying on a rainbow.
Yeah, with his lucky charms.
Krastar, the Bloodomancer, who looks like Ozzy Osbourne now. There's 5 or 6 other ones in this game. How many is this actually designed for? Because obviously we're playing a 3-6. Okay, so... God, man, I'm trying to imagine what 6 people looks like with this fucking game.
Oh, my God. I played it with 5, and it's... ridiculous.
Was just fucking absolute chaos.
Yeah.
Basically, what you have here is that everybody draws 8 cards, and within the 8 cards that you draw, you have spell components. Mm-hmm. You can play 1 to 3 spell components. There's a beginning, a middle, and an end, which I believe was the object,
the source is the first one, quality, and delivery.
So each one of these things will have different ways and different people that you target, and depending on how many you play will determine the order of events and who goes first and how they end up resolving. So maybe you can go a little more into that because you have a little more experience with that.
Okay.
So how does it compare just the how do you maintain order with five people with this game, because things got getting a little fucking crazy.
Yeah, there's not really order.
Yeah, like, it's very chaotic.
It's super chaotic, and the fact that there's cards that you can play them, you know. Okay, so typically the initiative go there's a it's typically there's a number at the in the last card in delivery. Whoever has the highest number, they're the ones that go first. It goes from highest to lowest. Mm-hmm. But there's certain cards. What was the one? Impatient.
Impatient.
That makes the spell impatient, so you get to go first no matter what.
Yeah, so what's interesting is, like, once you went through the instructions for the game, it's actually pretty easy to understand. It's just adjusting the rules to what's said on the cards, that can be a bit of a pain in the ass sometimes.
Right, yeah.
No, and the best part about it is, what I think is just the actual card combinations, and the reason why is because the cards have different, what they call arcane glyphs. So that means it's different kinds of spells, like dark spells, arcane spells,
different classes,
illusions, different classes, elemental. And the thing is that as long as it fits in the way all these cards are, all the source, all the quality, all the delivery are made so to look like a box, like a picture frame.
Yeah.
And you can mix and match them.
Right.
And like, for instance, I just picked three random ones out. And, right, hey, Jeff, if you want to read them off.
Yeah. It's Ben Voodoo's Two-Faced Fist of Nature.
And it's one of those weird things. Like, it's got crazy names to everything and everything. It's hysterically awesome, these actual the artwork that's on it. Because the artwork actually reminds me more of Super Jail.
I cannot overemphasize, like, how amusing the art is on these things.
Yeah, in fact, it reminds me of Super Jail. It really does. Like, the amount of how everything is so 1970s.
Half of this should be, like, spray painted on a fucking van.
Yeah, whoever drew this was on acid. I mean, there's a...
I'm pretty sure Pistonator is on, like, a 74 Camaro or something.
Oh, for sure.
Like, if come not, on. It will there's, be. There's a picture... of just a bicep that was broken off from acid that has a tree on top of it that has muscles.
Hell fucking
yes. You know
yes.
what I mean?
Yes.
It's called Mighty Grow.
Yes,
it's
please.
Like, it's
give
that,
me some
it's
more
that
of that.
Crazy fucking acid trippy type of thing that I enjoy looking. Like, it's one of those things that's visually, it's great. Like, you had the first game we talked about was elegant and stylized. This one is...
Oh, this one's stylized.
Oh,
this
yeah.
has a style
yeah.
to it.
This has a style to it, and it's acid. It's heavy metal to the core.
Yeah.
But what I like about it is because of the elements, the different elements that you have, those and that gives you so many chances at different spells and different abilities and combinations.
Yeah.
So it's not... You know, because sometimes you want to have all of the same because you get a bonus on that. But sometimes the card will tell you for every different one you have.
Right.
Yeah,
so
there's like a really good balance of like having like they balance like synergy within their own classes, but also encouraging you to go and fuck around with a lot of stuff.
Right.
Which is like a good sign of something that you can play repeatedly. There's mm-hmm. not one way to play this. So you can definitely play this multiple ways.
And of course, and the whole thing is that you have to have cards that these cards have to connect to one another in order for them to fit, meaning that you can't put in two quality cards together. It has to be, you know, it has to be a source quality and delivery. Unless, of course, you play our favorite card, which is Wild Magic. It's just a card that you can play during any form of the
spell component.
Of the spell component that allows you to just pick a random card out of the deck to replace it.
Right.
Which is a great... Like, it literally is just a wild card. It's like, oh, you don't know what the fuck you're going to get, but let's see what happens.
And the card has a snake coming out of a wizard's mouth.
This wizard's just freaked
the fuck
out.
While everything is on fire.
Yeah. So one of the other things I really like about it is how fast this goes. Like, a lot of the ways that we're describing it makes it sound like it takes a long time. But really, as it happened multiple times as we were playing, like... And if you have a bunch of people who really have a hard-on for killing somebody, like, you'll wipe people out in one single turn. Like, there was one time where Kenny almost took me, you start at 20 life, he took me down to, like, in single digits.
And the thing that the game does really well that you mentioned that is, even if you lose... You're not out of it.
Oh, that's actually a really good. That's a really interesting mechanic.
That is
of the
a
game,
great mechanic.
Yeah,
is that even when you're because the whole point of the game is you have to be the last wizard standing, meaning that in every game you have to kill off every remaining player, and you don't win just by winning the first game. You actually have to win two games.
Right.
So after that first game goes, you start up another game.
Right.
And the game actually goes faster as you're playing because at that point, you're just knocking. You're just trying to go through.
And there's almost tactical advantages that I could see for getting bodied early on, because you start stacking up the cards after you die. And so when you start the next game, you start off with a bunch of bonuses, which could be everything from gaining life, getting treasures.
There's different decks, and one of the decks is the Dead Wizard deck, which is great because it literally just has a zombie wizard coming out from the fucking ground. As you're dead and the game is still going on, you pick up a card every round. And every card does something different that stacks on to the next game that you guys play.
Right.
And if you die early in the game, you could possibly be getting multiple to 0.56. At one point, Pedro, I believe, had three. And he was about to get four.
Yeah.
And these cards do minor things. There's one card that's a really fucked up card where it just says, oh, you're dead. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Deal with it.
I got it.
Right? And then there's other cards that give you bonuses, that give you more HP starting the game, that give you
extra cards,
that give you wild cards to start.
Extra die rolls being particularly nasty, which I think we both felt that.
Yeah.
And it helps level out the game more because... the way this game was progressing, I honestly thought that when we tested out this game, that Jeff was going to outright just win the game. Because, of course, what happens when me and Pedro play a game?
I don't know. We'd like to blow each other up.
Yeah. So that's pretty much what it was. Pedro was gunning for me at the get from the jump. And, of course, I followed suit. And all Jeff was doing was just sitting back. And just waiting.
I was really civil about it, too. Whenever it was like choose somebody, I was like, okay, I'm going to roll a die. I'm going to roll a die. Yeah. I'm not going to actually pick one.
Leave this random. And we're just like, fuck you.
Jeff, I'm going to tell you right now. You better let that go real fucking quick. You better let that go real fucking quick. Because after a while, it's going to be like Munchkin. We're just going to fucking attack you.
I would actually really like to get a big old hardcore game of Munchkin going. Yeah,
it's been a while for that. Oh, my God. I need to get
friendships
get every,
have nearly
get every
been ended because of that fucking
game. I think I have Star Munchkin at my house.
Oh, my God.
Still.
You get you make a Highlander deck of Munchkin cards.
Yeah. Yeah,
and then just have like 8, 9, 10 people play. It would take forever, though.
Have you played Star Munchkin, where you can actually make a gun that it's a banana, fana, faux phaser, me, my, mo, mazer, blazer, faux phaser, and it just keeps stacking, and you can have it up to like +29.
Jesus
or
Christ.
Like that.
Until somebody makes you discard it. And then you're like, son of a bitch.
Motherfucker.
What I love about it is, especially for people that get angry from getting killed early, it benefits you a lot of times.
Yeah.
And imagine, again, we played this three of us with six people in a full game.
Oh,
you
my
die
God.
Early.
Yeah. No,
the other thing, too, is you're not necessarily going to die early because there's five other targets, not just three of us.
Five other targets, and there is healing in this game that is interestingly established. Like, this is really well tested to really balance out both people who are really good at these types of games, but people who aren't good get the bonuses to
make
it
get
into
lucky.
The field.
Yeah, because you can get lucky in this game, and the cards can come out in a way that could single out somebody really quickly.
Yeah.
What I do like about the fact is that you get it like it's not a one game, it's over type of thing. It's the best of
everybody has to. You know, have first to, winner has to win two.
Yeah.
This will be. I'm going to say this right now. I'm going to say it to everybody. This will be the first game on this podcast that I will give a 10.
Oh.
That I have thought about already when we finished playing this game, I already thought about how much it would cost to get this game because I really need this.
Well, you should get the expansion.
Exactly. I will get
not the expansion. I'm sorry, the new game version because they came out with a new version on the 29th of November.
Oh, my God.
Called Epic Spell Wars of the Battle Wizards Melee at Murder Shroom Marsh.
Fuck yes.
Yes.
With new wizards and...
That sounds a lot like Middle Earth. That's what it sounds like.
Dirty Middle Earth.
And actually, it looks like it has 8 wizards and Ooh. 5 dice. So it very well may have added an extra player to it.
Because somebody needed extra die while we were playing.
Well, look, this game gets kind of crazy. Yeah. It does. And what I like is the amount of... It's one of those things where you get to fuck with people. Just remember that whoever you fucked with is coming right after you shortly after.
Yeah.
But yeah, I give it a 10. Honestly, I'm not giving it a 10 just to throw it out there. This was a well-balanced game. For the chaos that it brings, there's a great level of just pick up and play. There wasn't. It took about maybe 5 minutes to explain this game, and we were right into it.
Yeah, it was really simple, really easy to pick up, and just presentation wise, it's It's right up my alley. I can see some people would be like, oh, it's super childish, but fuck that. This has a lot of personality to it. And
yeah.
I've seen a lot of board games that are really generic and don't have personality. This one is not that.
No, not at all. And what I would say is with these cards, even still, it's just this game is made where, again, the randomness of it doesn't matter. It all depends who you play.
Right.
It is great to play with new people and with people that you know because this will test out how much they want to kill you off.
This will test your friendship in many ways.
Because, of course, whenever we play this game in the Shire that we're recording at right now, of course, I am the number one target.
Oh, you're the biggest target.
I am the biggest target.
Because you're the luckiest motherfucker ever met.
Because I am the luckiest motherfucker in this game, in any game.
In any game with a card in it.
Well, that one spell that he did, that he almost killed both of us.
Yeah, he's like, he did like 12 or 15 damage to us in one fucking turn.
It just so happens that But was that also when
that's why you're fucking lucky.
Yeah, you had that. You had the 75 treasures.
Yeah, you know.
He had like 8 treasures. He was like, he had like bonus die rolls for everything that he picked up. He was rolling 5 die at a time.
Oh, by the way, there is treasure cards. We never mentioned the treasure
cards. Oh, yeah, that's true.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the treasures end up having like sustained effects.
Right.
Which could be anything from adding die to different rolls to affecting you drawing depending on you playing other cards. I got one, which was kind of interesting, that if I played 2 cards, I could throw in a third one randomly. So that kind of affects the order of how you play because the less cards that you start off with, the sooner you go. So you really could start off with 2 and then just start randomly comboing ridiculous shit into it. Right. So
yeah, and that's actually another aspect that we barely touched on was the way the turns go is not done by die roll. The way the turns go is based off of what spell you're playing and the amount of spells you're playing. Like, for instance, you can play up to 3 cards. The person that's playing the fewest amount of cards is the one that gets to go first. Sometimes that strategy works, especially depending on the cards that you play.
Yeah, and especially if you're trying to sneak in
before they play,
like somebody at this table.
Somebody
at this table. I don't know. Somebody who might be hosting.
It could be 3 people.
Exactly. It could be 3 people. It's not 3 people. It's 1 person.
It's only 1
person. It's fucking you, Kenny.
But, you know, I digress. But, yes, great game overall. I love the artwork. The artwork is by far one of the craziest, awesome things that I've seen from a board game. And this is a quick game. Even the 3 games that we played was less than, I want to say.
20 minutes.
Yeah. It's 30 minutes. This is a 30-minute game. This is a game.
It was 30 minutes because it took us 10 minutes to kind of like get adjusted to it and then just burn right through it.
That first round was the one that took longer.
Yeah. And then that's, again, if you're looking for a quick game to play, I would say you get either Sushi Go or you get this monster of a fucking game.
Well, the advantage that Sushi Go has is Sushi Go can be literally held as like a pack of cards, whereas this one takes a little more setup. It's, you know, you have a couple tokens and stuff, but ultimately it is like really, it's a small box. Like you can take this almost anywhere.
Right.
Yeah. What do you think, Pedro, about this game?
Man. I don't like throwing tens around, but like this, I really like this game.
That's his internal soul.
That was just me. Yeah. That was me, like in fucking Varsity Blues. Tan, a fucking tan.
I'll say like a 9.5 because I mean, the problem is I can't really think of anything I didn't like about this game. I really like this game, so it's not a 9.5 or a 10. Oh, you know what? Fuck it. I'll throw a 10 because like I really do recommend that people fucking play this game. This game is actually a lot of fun, easy to learn, very modular. Like you're not going to have repeated experiences. We're talking about presentation. The presentation's fantastic. There's even like a fucking Skullfire Mountain that does nothing except look at you, which I love that.
Yeah.
The fucking saucy as shit. And the art. I mean, that art's fucking fantastic. So yeah, I'm gonna give a 10. I'm on 10 Mountain with you.
What about you, Gia?
See, and I introduced this game. Yeah. I love the game. It's one of my it's really, really fun for me, and the changes and everything like that. It's not the same game twice. My concern with giving it a 10 is that I know there's different types of games that I know that are probably better than this, but the thing is they're different types of games.
So when I think about the way that we scan, this is kind of inside baseball here, but like the way that I feel that like our scoring system works isn't levels of perfection, it's levels of how much you would recommend it. So if it's like an 8.5, you know, you're recommending it, but you know that certain people might not like it. Whereas if I throw a 10 around, I'm like, yeah, I'm definitely fucking recommending this.
Yeah,
that's a hard recommendation.
Like we've given some games that are 5 or 6 and those games are one of those that you really have to like this game.
You better like this fucking genre.
Like, for me, I gave fucking Settlers of Catan a fucking 6. Okay. I really didn't I forgot how boring I felt. Also, I forgot how bored I was about that game. You know what I mean?
Right.
So the fact that I gave this a 10, to me, it's because of myself, because of the way this game is. It is exciting enough that I would tell people. If I knew an I got to remember the acronym for this game just so that I could just fucking tell people to go on fucking Cryptozoic and just get it. That's why. It's like, you don't have to worry about saying that, because you're comparing, like, for instance, you can't compare this game to Settlers of Catan. You can't compare it to
the card games that we played before.
Even card games, those living card games or deck building games. You really can't compare this to, like, Harry Potter. It's a different type of game.
Okay, just because I know of a couple people that I have introduced this game to that weren't fans of it, mm-hmm. I'd say a 9.5.
Okay.
No, because I immediately, when you guys were telling me to pick a game, I immediately was like, but then again, I know my audience. I knew that you guys would appreciate this game.
Right.
I know that there's probably going to be people out there. I'm sure there's probably going to be adults that if they see their kid with this demon board.
Oh, no, of course. You know, like this is, obviously this is for the nature of these cards. This is for an older audience.
It's not meant for amusingly kids. Juvenile. Yeah. So you have to have a sense of humor to be able to appreciate this.
Right. I would say at least be in high school when you play this game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
but it's a fun game. And it, like you said, it's for the most part, it's even though there is some setup, it's quick.
Yeah.
And you can pick this up after one round. And the beauty of it is because, we didn't talk about this, but when we played it, we all ended up winning one before we actually got to the final round.
Yeah, and it wasn't like we were pulling punches. Like, that's just, it naturally occurred.
It just naturally happened. So even if you're still getting your sea legs on that first go, you can still have a chance of coming back to win.
Yeah.
This game makes it, again, this is one of those games where you can be on the brink of losing and still win the game. And it's all because of what you draw and what you play and how the dice roll.
Right.
Which, essentially, that's what a game is. There has to be a chance. There has to be chance in the game.
Right.
Has to be some kind of chance. If there is zero chance in a game, that game tends to be very boring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I think that's a decent score. A 10, 10, and a 9.5.
That's pretty solid.
I mean, that's pretty fucking solid. I mean, I would say anybody that's listening to this, you could take our word for it if you want.
I'm pretty sure anybody who listens to the show will probably like this game.
I would tell you right now, play the fucking game. Pick it up. Go to any card shop. We're in Miami, so you can go to Cool Stuff. Go, Silver Dragon, see if Silver Dragon has it. Even Mac and Chess, I don't know if Mac and Chess would have it.
I think Mac and Chess has it.
Mac and Chess has it, even better. You go there, fucking eat their delicious food, and play this fucking game.
Drink their beer, eat their food, play this game.
You know what I mean? But please, tell us if you didn't like it. Which, by the way, that's one I wanted to ask you, Jeff. What is it that they didn't like about the game?
They, from what I remember, because I played this a while back with them when I first got the game, but they didn't like that the fuckery was kind of randomized because it was all based on whatever cards you got. Like, and I think it was more personal because they have that one person in the gaming group that they hate.
Yeah.
Because they're always the asshole.
And that's the reason why we love this game.
I give it the 9.5 just because I know that there's people that don't like it.
Right.
It may not be a reason I agree with.
Right.
Knowing that, like, you guys only know me that's played the game and I love the game.
Yeah.
So, but like, I know some people that were just kind of about the game.
This is like when we talk about games like this is to our what we like.
Right.
I mean, obviously, again, Settlers of Catan is a classic game that started up as far as resource management for a lot of people. I can understand why people would like that game, just like I understand why I would like this and why somebody wouldn't. But fuck them. I mean, this is a great game. I mean, fuck them.
Yeah.
I mean, whoever didn't like the game when you play with them, fuck them. Who cares?
I don't know them. I don't know their name. I don't want to know their name.
Yeah, exactly. But, let us know if you enjoyed the game. If you didn't like it, please tell us why so we can tell you to go fuck off.
Tell you to go fuck off lovingly. Go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself. But
say
or
hi to your mother for me.
or if you thought of a better game that you think is better than fucking Epic Spell Wars, by all means, please let us know. We want to try out these games. Please tell us any game that you would consider us that you would think that we would love and we would talk about, or a game that you think we would hate, so we could trash the fuck out of it, because we love doing that too.
Yeah, give me like we've had a, it's been a while since we had some trash, so somebody
maybe we can go play Ghostbusters.
Oh,
I actually would be down for that. Let's play some garbage.
Jack and Chess has it.
They have it.
All right, we're gonna get a beer. It's a field trip. Really upset.
I think we're gonna have a couple beers at that point.
Well, guys, again, thank you guys so much for tuning in on another episode.
It's another episode complete. And it's only his second episode. And he's already adjusted to
how I can already hear
fall down like a cotton bed and just have the fluffiness.
Well, guys, thank you so much for listening to the Three Amigos talk about gaming. This is Crit or Die. And until next time,
we'll see you later.